Third Coast Digest is brought to you in part by 91.7 FM, WMSE Frontier Radio.
Drew Rosas, welcome. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
You make movies.
That's correct.
You made a wonderful movie called Blood Junkie.
Wonderful is one way to describe that, I guess.
Which was also called...
It was originally titled Rocky Trails, and then we switched the title to Blood Junkie when it got distribution with Troma Entertainment.
With Troma. Troma, famous horror movie, science fiction movie.
They kind of do everything that's 80s B comedy, horror, sci-fi, probably most well-known for The Toxic Avenger.
Right.
And the charismatic founder and leader of the Klan, Lloyd Kaufman.
Those are what are called genre pictures, correct? That's what the industry refers to them as.
Sure, yeah.
So you make genre pictures.
You could say that. I mean, definitely it is a genre. In the new film,
right.
I mean, Blood Junkie is much more of iconic representation of 1980s style cinema.
Right.
Billy Club, the new project I'm working on, is also a horror film, but it's not as set in the genre. It's more cross-platform, I guess. And that's one thing that I do really like about the horror genre as a whole, is that if it's done well, it really is a combination of all these different aspects of different genres. You know, you have the scary parts, you have the thrilling parts, you have a mystery, you have adventure, you have comedy.
You have some comedy in
there. And hopefully you have some romance in there as well.
Right, yeah, you got to have a boy and a girl. So are horror movies, that particular genre, that particular type, are those the movies that you love? Are those your heroes?
You know, it's definitely the movies that stuck out when I was a kid. Probably more science fiction.
Right.
But movies that kind of blend the lines, things like Alien, one of my favorite movies of all time, really both science fiction and horror. Star Wars, of course, is one of my favorite movies as a child. But, you know, what draws me to a lot of those movies when I was even growing up was not so much... the genre, per se, it was the special effects. And I think that's why a lot of people get so drawn into those genres, is because they have these, you're watching it and you know it's fake, and you're thinking, how did they pull this off? Right. And that's the question that makes you want to try and replicate it or try and make your own, is how can I pull that off?
Right. And then you have to do it on a fairly limited budget.
I do it on a very limited budget, although I do have a lot more money to work with on my new project. It's pretty much... immediately swallowed up. I mean, I still feel like I'm working with no money.
Right.
Because the second the film grows a little bit, what, you know, minor budget you might have is pretty much allocated.
Right. You have more money this time on Billy Club than you had on Blood Junkie because Blood Junkie was successful.
Well, yeah, that actually is a huge factor, I think, in how we've been able to raise money, is because we'd already did it once.
Right.
It's not taking a chance on somebody that's, hey, I'm going to try and make a feature film, and anybody that's tried that before knows how hard it is. And so your first time, people are like, all right, we'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see what you do.
Let's see.
So, I mean, just the fact that we did it once, we got it done for cheap, and we got it released, we got it played in a number of festivals, and we found DVD distribution.
Right.
People are like, all right, let's give these guys a shot. And I think it makes people a lot more willing to, you know, throw some money our way, as well as a lot of the people that have helped pledge their support for Billy Club. It's really just buying our next movie. Because when you pledge support on Kickstarter, which is the main platform we used,
right,
you pledge $25. That's basically a pre-order on the DVD once the movie's done.
Okay.
So it's really just saying, oh, great, I loved your first movie.
I want to buy the second one for $25.
$25.
That's all it takes.
Not a big deal, and it allows us to go and make it.
Right. So you raise money this way. You don't go back to Troma, to a distribution company, and say, hey, I want to make a movie. Give me X number of dollars.
I had a conversation with Troma early on. We already had started our Kickstarter campaign, and I had approached them about helping me promote it through their networks to get the word out to their people. And then they sort of said, hey, wait a second. Why don't you just come to us for this money? But the thing is, they basically would then own the project from the start. And I think Troma was a great match for Blood Junkie because, for one, it was really cheap. It only cost me $7,000 total through post-production to make that film, which I just paid for out of pocket, and probably about half of it on credit cards, which I've paid off now. So I own that 100%, and I've licensed it to Troma to sell. But at the same time, if I was going to go with Troma from the start, it pretty much, they would give us a very small budget to work with, and then they would own the entire rights regardless of what film we make.
Do they have any creative input?
I don't know if they would have approached me with creative demands. I think they probably would let me do my thing. It seems like their whole strategy is just to, get as many filmmakers and films under their umbrella as possible,
right.
And then just keep throwing people into their website, and hopefully people walk out with a 3 or 4 different DVDs.
Right.
You know, and the thing is, Troma's kind of, they're not necessarily known for making great films
right.
at all. They're known for making funny films. They're very specific type of humor. If you like that, you're going to love Troma movies. And that's kind of why I went with them with Blood Junkie, because it is actually a pretty close match. It's not a perfect match, because I really think Blood Junkie, it's not as gory. Troma's all out gore fest in their stuff.
Yeah.
Blood Junkie is not gory. It's actually a comedy. But at the same time, it's an 80s horror comedy film, which basically is almost exactly like what Troma's doing, except they're just kind of taking it to a whole new level of camp.
Right.
So it's a good match, I think, in that if you like a Troma movie and you get your hands on Blood Junkie, you'll probably love it. Troma was sort of the first company that I really had a serious discussion with, and we worked out a contract that I was pretty happy with, and it allowed me to just kind of move on. I'd been working on that film for probably 3 years, so I was ready to move on. And like, that's kind of one of the things about independent filmmaking, is when you're a creative person, you can bend over backwards for the creative parts of that process, but when you hit the publicity parts and the marketing parts, then the independent filmmaking, you really kind of hit this wall.
Yeah.
Because if you're the creative person, you know, you can work 18-hour days on the creative stuff, but when it gets to the sort of the tedious things in marketing publicity, that's where I sort of lose all my ambition and interest in it, you know, and I just want to move on to the next thing.
Well, that's one of the things I wanted to ask you, because as an independent filmmaker, and having done it myself to a degree, it seems to me that the whole process of getting a film made is divided into three parts. First, there's raising the money. Then there's making the movie, which is the fun part. And then there's marketing it. So just ballpark, I'm not going to hold you to this. What percentage of your time making a movie is spent raising the money? What percent is spent marketing it? And what does that leave for time and energy?
You know, I think it's probably pretty even on this project, although we kind of combine fundraising and pre-production into one big section.
Okay.
So we had the script, we were writing the script through the Kickstarter campaign. We were revising it the entire time. We did 2 rewrites while also trying to location scout and cast and all that sort of thing. And then we're going to shoot for 6 weeks. So I think it's probably about 6 weeks for our fundraising and pre-production simultaneously. Another 6 weeks for actual shooting. And then editing will probably be closer to 6 months. For me, this is my second time through, and it's been a lot different than the first time.
Right.
The first time I had the money already, and I just kind of set to making the film, and I did it sort of in a strange way where I didn't have a straight production schedule for, say, 6 weeks we're going to make this movie. I shot it over about 4 months of time, all friends working on it, people with day jobs, people with schedules, and I was sort of doing pre-production throughout the week. When I wasn't directing on the days we were shooting, I was producing on the days off and making the next shoot.
Right.
Decided to do it differently this time.
Right. Are you paying people?
We are not paying people what they deserve.
Right.
We're trying to hopefully make it so people aren't losing money to help us on our project.
Right.
We're renting equipment. We have a lot of really, really good vendors that are working in our price range. It's strange because compared to Blood Junkie, we have a lot more money, but it's pretty much allocated already, completely gone.
And you're shooting it here in Milwaukee.
We're shooting in Milwaukee as well as all over other parts of Wisconsin. We're shooting about a week in northern Wisconsin, a small town called Pickerel, which is near Crandon.
So you're shooting 6 weeks, 6 day weeks, 5 day weeks?
We're shooting about 6 day weeks, 5 or 6 day weeks.
Right.
We have a couple big spurts where we're probably going for 8 days, and then we have a couple 2 or 3 day weekends. I'm bringing in 2 actors from LA, as well as my production designers from LA, and my second AD is from LA.
Right.
I'm living in Los Angeles.
I'm
back here. And then my wardrobe supervisor is from Houston, and she's coming up here. So we have a lot of out of town people that are sort of on retainer to work on this project. So while they are in town, we're doing everything we can to get them on set and get those scenes shot.
That's ambitious. Now, can I ask what your budget is on this?
Our Billy Club working budget right now is about $30,000.
Wow. So you've jumped up quite a bit from Blood Junkie.
It seems like that, but every time I look at the budget, it's still
not enough.
Right. And it's, you know, think, oh, now we're going to have 3 times as much money, 4 times to work with than the last one. I should be able to actually pay some people, but once you start giving people what they're worth, it really just, it's gone immediately. And so we're trying to just get people on board. We're going to feed everyone really well. We're paying for everyone's gas. If people have equipment, we'll rent equipment. And in return, then we'll give you some great credits. And at the same time, we're trying to put all of our budget, or as much as we can, into actual practical needs for the film. Right. So that would be camera rental, camera equipment, props, building sets, gas, location fees, insurance, and that sort of stuff.
Right. Is there any back end for talent or for crew? I think of crew as talent.
We haven't really figured that out exactly. We do have some money set aside. We have our Kickstarter campaign, which we raised $15,000, and then raised an additional $15,000 outside from independent financers.
Right.
And so with the Kickstarter campaign, there's, as you donate, different levels. And we had a couple $1,000 pledges. We had a few $2,500 pledges, which really made us able to meet the $15,000 goal. Right. However, with our outside financiers, we have contracts, and they are actually buying ownership of the film. Okay. Now that everything's done.
So nobody can, they can't, after they hear this, go to Kickstarter and donate?
I don't think they can donate through Kickstarter anymore, although we are talking about putting up basically a donation option on our website that you could use PayPal, and you can just go on there, and we're going to just kind of mirror the Kickstarter campaign donation levels, all the rewards.
Right.
And so that we actually have had some emails today from people that are like, oh, shoot, I missed the deadline and I wanted to give you $1,000. Will you still accept it? And we're, of course we will.
Yeah,
of course
we will.
So
put it in 20s and in an envelope and slip it under the door.
Slip it under the door and we'll get your name in the credits.
Yeah.
You know, so we're working on that right now. We're going to have another way where people can still come and support the film if they want to, and throughout production, because we will need the money, and well through post-production too.
Well, that's what I was going to say. If it runs true to the form of most movies, you can always use a little bit of extra money, right? And then marketing, do you hire a sales agent or do you do it yourself?
Well, this time we haven't really got there yet. We're going to try and step it up. With Blood Junkie, I just did everything myself.
Right.
With friends, you know, who's good at this or who can help me with this and bring people on board the team. With Billy Club, one of our executive producers is Blaine Vess, who is former employee with New Line.
Okay.
And so he can pretty much get us a meeting in there, and we'll see where that goes.
Right.
We'd love to basically market it in Los Angeles this time and really take it out there and try and sell it. We're shooting bigger and better.
Well, good luck with it. And people should go ahead and look at the website and put some money up.
It's BillyClubMovie.com.
BillyClubMovie.com. Okay. Good luck on it.
Thank you.
Have a good time shooting, and I'm looking forward to it.
All right. Thanks a lot, Mark.
Yeah.